Tonight is our, we are especially honored to have Nancy McDaniel as our guest tonight. She's been the head coach of the Cal women's golf team for 21 years. Since founding the program, she's built it into one of the top programs in the country. Her teams have made 16 straight NC2A regional tournaments and 8 NC2A championship tournaments. She's coached numerous All-Americans as well as an NC2A individual champion. Now, Nancy herself had an outstanding college career at Washington, including earning All-American honors, and she was a touring pro in the U.S. and Asia for 5 years, notching several victories. She's earned numerous Coach of the Year awards in the Pac-12 and the Western Regionals, and she was the National Golf Coaches Association Coach of the Year in 2003 and the LPGA Coach of the Year. Nancy, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, you bet, Eric. I'm glad to do it and happy to help out any Northern, you know, the Northern California Junior Association is really dear to Cal and to me, so this is going to be really fun.
Well, fantastic. I have a room full of eager young players who have a lot of questions for you, but I'm going to get the ball rolling first with a question about your team. And if you could describe for us how things work, like how many players do you typically have on your team, and how does women's golf differ from men's golf, particularly with respect to scholarships?
Okay, so our team is usually comprised of 8 to 10 players, and on the women's side, we're allowed 6 full scholarships, and on the men's side, they're allowed 4.5, and that's just due to gender equity through all sports in the school. So we get a couple, you know, 1.5 more scholarships, and I like to keep the team fairly small on the, you know, 8 to 10 side, just so that we only have 2 coaches for women's golf to keep the ratio down. And, you know, it's an individual, real individual sport and a lot of work to be done. So it makes for a good ratio for team player to coach to student.
I appreciate that. So our first question is from Lizzie. Go ahead.
Hi, Coach Nancy. This is Lizzie. And my first question is, how long are the players on the women's team?
How long as far as distance goes?
Yeah.
Okay, Lizzie. Well, you must be a long hitter. Are you?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so Lizzie, you know, I would say our team is, I would say pretty long. They're off the tee, they're probably 230 to 280. And one of the players who hits it the longest, actually the smallest on my team, and the two that hit it the longest. And I'm not exactly sure. I know a little bit about where that comes from as a teacher, but they can hit it pretty far. And then I have a group that maybe hits it more straight than far and tends to hit the green a lot, you know, a little bit more. So I feel like their value is right there as well as the distance.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Coach Nancy. This is Anthony. How does your team prepare to play a new course during practice rounds?
During practice rounds, well, we'll usually get the course guide from the golf course and work through that on each hole. And so we cheat a little bit there. Back in the day, about 10 years ago, they didn't have as many course guides, and so we built our own, taking, you know, each hole one at a time and seeing how far off the tee the distances were and then how far, you know, uphill, downhill and things like that and putting them in a book. But right now we'll get them usually from the golf course, buy them, and then we'll add in little notes and we'll put places where we want to really focus on playing from rather than not where we don't want to hit it, but we really focus on where we do want to hit it and make little, you know, however you want to do it, outlines or fun little, you know, pieces of, okay, you want to be here on the green, or if you miss the green, this is where you want to be. And so we just try to take notes, you know, hole by hole, and then every night before each competitive round when we're on the road, we'll go through that course and talk about and see and where they're aiming into the hole. And we really use a group talk to help each other out. And so everybody kind of knows what everybody else is doing, and we're able to help one another.
All right, thank you.
Hi, my name's Sydney. First of all, go Bears.
Go Bears.
My question is, what do you think for when recruiting a player besides just score?
Oh, besides just score? Well, there's a thing called the fit, and that is, you know, spelled F-I-T, the fit. So it's how you fit with our program. And I believe that there's a fit, you know, for everybody at some golf program in the country. And for ours in particular, I'm really looking at, and our coaches are really looking at, number one would probably be academics, just because Cal's a pretty tough one as far as the academics. You have to be on top of it. I look at time organization and how that player, you know, goes through their week in high school, if they're able to handle things. I look at how competitive that person and player is, just in terms of if they're playing other sports, you know, are they really into their other sports? Do they have that look of, okay, yeah, I'm a team player? So we look for competitiveness. We also look for really good support, and that is from your parents, your family, your golf teacher. So I look and really learn a lot about who's behind you and who's helping you out with your golf and making sure that that's really a positive place for you. And then we look at, I think the most important one would be that you love the game of golf. And sometimes that's hard to figure out from a player just over the phone. So if I get to watch them play and meet them and talk with them, I think I can really tell if they love the game for themselves. And for, you know, they get up in the morning and they're like, yeah, I would really want to play golf. Or if they're, you know, not really feeling it, you can kind of tell after having been in it as long as I have. So does that help?
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, Coach Nancy. This is Caroline.
Hi, Caroline.
What's a good balance between practicing, playing, and school academics?
A good balance, like time-wise, you know, how to organize your day on that. Is that what
yeah.
you mean?
Yeah.
So I would say at college, you know, you don't have to be in school from 8 to 3:30 like most of our schools here in high school. So we really divide it kind of into three, where we practice and work out, say in the morning, and then in the afternoon they go to class, and in the evening they do some more studying and have their social life. So I think what you said there was really important, was a good balance. And that's the most important part, is that you're not at the golf course too long, and you're not in the library too long, and you're not, you know, that you're making sure that you're staying close with friends and things like that. So I would say a good balance between playing and practicing. I would say the more, for us, the more we can play, the better. But sometimes it probably equals half and half. We play and we practice half and half. And then, again, like I said, they're in class because, you know, they need to be. And then working out is another part that's important, too, to stay healthy and fit. So it's just a balance of all those things.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Coach Nancy. This is Baron. And my first question is, how do you structure practice sessions? What do you focus on mainly during practice?
Gosh, I would say it depends on the team each year, but we really value the short game. So the chipping and the putting part is of great importance. And but we make it fun. I think we do a lot of competitions around the green, a ton of up and downs. We really get into it. We make tournaments and we do brackets and have, you know, people getting to the finals of the up and down championship. So I would say that's probably always going to be number one for us. It's worked well over the years, and we take a lot of pride in being a really good short game team. And then, yeah, so I would say that's probably our priority as far as our practice goes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Coach Nancy. This is Jeremy. I was wondering, how many hours do you suggest your players to practice outside of the team practice?
Well, you know, they get a fair amount of practice during the week. So NCAA allows you to be practicing for 20 hours, and that seems like a lot. But if you put in, we play on Tuesday and Thursday, and then we practice Monday, Wednesday, Friday for about 2.5 to 3 hours. And then on Saturday or Sunday, they pick a day, and I usually encourage them to play and practice on their own, because then they can do what they want to do and really focus on their goals individually, away from, you know, maybe what we're doing as a team. And so I would say the extra practice would be about 2 to 3 hours on a weekend day. And then I always say we should take a day off.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
Hi, this is Brandon. I was wondering what you have your players do over the summer, and how do you keep track of it?
Oh, what we do over the summer, I encourage them to play a schedule that's right for them. So if we have a couple of players right now who are ready to play full summer, you know, like big tournaments, but also you don't want to get too burnt out. So you have, for instance, one of my players just made nationals and she's coming off of that, and she wants to continue to play at a high level. So she'll play in about 5 or 6 tournaments, and 2 or 3 of them will be more local, and then 3 or so will be more national. And then she would have an opportunity to, you know, maybe be a person to be picked for a national team like the Curtis Cup or the World Amateur Team or something like that. So I encourage them to play and then also take some family time and time off, because that's, you know, over Christmas and over summer are the only times that you really get some time off. So that's important as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Hi,
you're
welcome. Lizzie again. How many AP classes do you have to take in high school to get a scholarship?
AP classes? You don't have to take any AP classes to get a scholarship. I would say you really just want to keep your grades up, and at least for Cal, you want to be over 3.5 and be handling your grades really well and your time really well. So you don't have to take any APs to have a scholarship at Cal.
Okay, thank you.
Just to follow up on the scholarship question, Nancy, how many of the players are on full and how many are on partial scholarships?
The way it works with our team, I like to have everybody on something. So there won't be anyone that's on a 100% full to begin with, but they can grow into that by the end, you know, by their junior, senior year. So it's nice, you know, when you have 6 scholarships and 8 people, everyone can get a little piece of the pie and feel valued in a way and really be working towards even something more. So I like to keep that out there.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Anthony again. How does a typical tryout work for college golf?
Well, it's been a long time since we've done a tryout. It was probably in the early years for us. I would say if we were going to do a tryout, we would do probably 6 rounds. After the first day of school, we'd do 6 rounds of medal play, and then you know, different schools do different things. They might throw out one of the rounds, one of the high rounds and one of the low rounds, but they would probably decide after about a 2-week period and then go from there. But I don't have a lot of experience with that because we don't have tryouts.
All right, thank you.
Hi, this is Sydney again. My second question is, what is a common golf practice session include, and how often does the team practice?
Oh, what's a common golf practice? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, so when we get to arrive at the golf course, and then you want just what we do at practice, is that what you would like?
Yeah.
Okay, so we get there, and we'll do a little meditation. So like a little bit of everyone kind of closes their eyes and does a little breathing exercise to get them to be focused on what we're doing, because they're coming from campus and sometimes that can be a little bit of a trip. And so they come out, they'll go through that. Then we'll do a little warm-up, a physical warm-up for about 10 minutes. And then on a typical day, we'd have 3 players at the range and 3 players on the putting green and 3 players either chipping or doing wedges. And at each place, we'd have something, you know, one place for sure having some competition going on, keeping it fun. And, you know, like at the range, we wouldn't be hitting one after another balls every, you know, you're just grabbing them and hitting them. We'd be more focusing on the target and playing some games as if we were playing a golf course or something like that. And then in the chipping, like I said, we'd probably do some competitions. I think that's one of the best ways to get better. And the putting, everyone has their own drills that they like to do to start. And then we usually set up a scoring game of some kind that works on, you know, either speed or direction. And then everybody, there's usually some really big boards up. So you'd go and write your score on the board, and that kind of keeps everybody in it. So if you're playing a game on the range, your name would be on it, and you might have a score by your name, and it keeps it really fun and challenging. So that's how we set it up, and then we just rotate every, I'd say, 40 minutes or so. So no one gets really stuck at one area, and then everybody knows that they got something out of each part of their game while they're at practice.
All right, thank you.
Hi, it's Caroline again. Does it make a difference in recruiting a student if they're in-state or out-of-state?
Oh, it can. It can, just depending on budget for different schools, because it costs more for at Cal to have an out-of-state student rather than an in-state. So for us, I'll always look at our in-state players first before we go on, you know, into out-of-state or international.
Okay.
Hi, Coach Nancy. This is Baron. My second question is, how do your practice sessions change from week to week as you get closer to tournaments?
Oh, good question. Well, when we're about 2 weeks out and we have a tournament that we don't leave for 2 weeks, we'll use the first week to really, you know, get confident about what we're doing. So we might hit what we call bulk chipping or, you know, bulk range, where you get to hit more shots of the same kind instead of changing the shots around. So we really get comfortable with what we're doing. You know, if you're working on a certain move or something with your coach, you get to do that in the first week. And then we move into more competition and, you know, trying to achieve some goals more, like, okay, you have to hit this putt, make this three-footer 40 times in a row. We get more into that, and then we get into competition right before we would leave for a tournament, so that it's exactly like it would be when we're going to that tournament. Everybody's pretty excited about it, and they're used to playing against one another.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Coach. This is Jeremy. I was wondering, what does a playbook consist of?
Oh, the playbook. Well, I kind of got this from a football playbook, or, you know, when you have a lot of plays in it and it takes you through the season, it's kind of a guidebook. So we have what's called a playbook, and it takes you through each week. It's a way of organizing your season. And so you would look at your playbook and write down your goals for the week, what you'd like to accomplish. There'd be a focus for that week so that we make sure we get to each part of your game throughout the fall. And then for us, it even goes down to, you know, time management and organizing your academics and, you know, what you want to achieve there, making sure that you're on top of it for your tests and things like that. So the playbook is a guide that takes you through the season and then also gives you themes and things that will keep you motivated and on track. Because, you know, everyone likes to have goals, but if you'd never check in on them, then they don't, you know, then they become a little weaker. So it keeps things right in front of you and making sure that you're going for your goals every week, and that, you know, it just gives you a good guide that way.
All right, thank you.
Hi, this is Brandon again. I was wondering if specific golf clubs could change the way a player plays in a tournament.
I would say every player has a different brand that they really like, but it doesn't, you know, it wouldn't really change the way they played in a tournament. It's really, you know, the confidence that you have in your clubs. And is that what you're talking about? Just the brand of club that you play?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say everybody has their favorite. And once they, you know, you get a club in your hand that you really like, that, yeah, it can make a big difference. But our players tend to, you know, they'll go their whole collegiate career with the same brand of club in their hand, and just update them as they go. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes, that does. Thank you.
Hi, this is Anthony again.
Uh-huh.
What kind of drills does the team use for full swing and short game?
Oh, the drills for full swing. Well, you know, you've got a great coach in Eric. So we use a lot of things that I've actually learned from Eric and another man, Dr. Glenn Albaugh, for full swing to keep it fun. So we'll do let it go drills, which is, you know, just teeing up five balls and letting it go. We play golf courses a lot on the range, which keeps it really fun. So it gets you visualizing the different holes and the different courses that you've played. We get really into that. So that's pretty fun. And then, we'll give each other, you know, two trees that they have to hit it in between and keep each other accountable for that. So on the range, that's one of the things. And then you asked about short game games too?
Short game drills.
Oh, gosh, we'll do like a lot of like ladder drills with putting, you know, putting the ball past the next one, a lot of feel, getting the landing spots. Yeah, there's just a lot of different ones. And actually, I've learned, you know, quite a bit from, like I said, Eric and some of the really top teachers around Northern California. So you're in good hands, you guys.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Coach Nancy. This is Cindy again. What golf score are you looking for in a D1 player at Cal?
What golf score? Well, for a freshman coming in, we are looking for someone who is averaging for sure under 75 and probably someone who has played some national events and played well in them. So score-wise, but then I do have a story about one of my players. As a freshman, she was shooting 51 in on her high school team. Sophomore, she was at 45. Junior, she was at 40. And senior year, she was down at 30, averaging 36 for 9 holes. And I was watching her then, and she's just a great player, a really, really nice swing and very competitive person, very nice, a good player on the course. And we invited her to walk on our team as a recruited walk-on. And now she'll be a junior next year, and she's working harder than ever. She played for us in her sophomore year. She traveled. And so, you know, as a freshman, she started as a averaging 51 on 9 holes. So there is, I think, the ability to start as late as 14 or 15 years old with that scoring average and still be a collegiate D1 player.
All right, thank you.
Hi, this is Caroline again. What are the main things a player should accomplish in her 4 years of high school in order to be recruited?
Good grades. I would say a good feeling, a good knowledge of your golf game, your golf swing, and what's happening when you're out on the golf course. So having a good relationship with your swing coach to know how you play your best and what to look for if things are really good or if things aren't going very good out on the golf course. So a really good working knowledge of your game. Also, the ability to hit the ball in different ways so that you're not coming out and just hitting it straight and knowing only how to hit it straight, but having the ability. What impresses me right from the beginning when I'm watching a player is someone who hits it in the trees, but then hits it out in a really good spot. And actually the ball comes out maybe with a shape of a fade and, you know, fades it on the green from out of the trees. So that tells me that player knows how to and is not afraid to shape the ball and get in there and, you know, be athletic about it and be excited to chase that ball down wherever it goes. So, I mean, working on that is just, that's just playing a lot and making sure you know, how to get in and out of trouble and taking it on too. So having that really, really great attitude also of being a team player, even though it's an individual sport, I think that's really important too.
Thank you.
Hi, Coach mm-hmm. Nancy. This is Baron once again. My question is, do you know what the required SAT score is in order to get recruited?
It would be different at every school. And then on the new scoring system, I'm a little behind on that one, but on the old system, it was, you know, for Cal, you're always going to look at over 1,800, and, you know, on the new one, I think that's probably, well, I don't want to speak to that at this moment, but it's going to be different anywhere you go, but you'd be surprised. I think the Ping Collegiate Golf Guide is a really good resource to use because it separates each of the programs, and you can see what each school requires for that.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Coach Nancy. This is Lizzie again. Do you have any mental game techniques that you like to use?
Mental game techniques. Gosh, I think it's probably mental techniques are kind of within all of our practices. But let's see. I like to... This is a good question. Well, I do, like I said, we do meditate a little bit and visualize before every practice. And then I would say, you know, on the range, we do a lot of behind the ball work where we're looking at how we want to hit it and visualizing and then stepping into the shot and just not thinking as much. So we do a lot of work on, you know, from behind the ball to when you're over the ball, that you're not thinking much and put a lot of things into play. We also like to do a lot of post shot. So after you're holding your finish, what you're saying to yourself, a lot of self-talk. We work a lot on that. So sometimes I'll have the players, one of the things we like to do is ask everyone to do a playing focus for the 9 or 18 holes we're going to go play. So they'll say something that they can control. So some of the fun ones are, I'm going to hold my finish and smile after every shot. Or I'm going to hold my finish and say something positive, you know, neutral to positive, no matter where my ball goes about that shot. Or I'm going to, you know, just something that keeps everybody in a really positive framework so that they can hit the next shot feeling good about it rather than, even if it was a bad shot, they're not thinking about it that way.
Okay, thank you.
And this is Sydney again. My fourth question is, if you could give a junior golfer that wants to play in college advice, what would it be?
Junior golfer, how old are you?
Nine.
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. I would say have a lot of fun with it. Find friends that you can, especially for the, I know on the women's side, because I know the girls really like to be around each other a lot. So finding friends that you really like to play with is a big one. It keeps you in it. It's part of why a lot of my players play, is because of the people they meet. And then I would say play sports. Play, you know, if you like other sports, don't be afraid to play them too. And don't be afraid that's going to keep you from golf, because I feel like when you have that team feeling of, you know, playing soccer or, you know, having teammates in that sense, that it's really, really valuable. And if you can learn other sports and work on your other muscle groups, you know, like getting in shape and being able to run and play basketball and be aggressive, and that's going to only help you in golf. So you don't have to just limit yourself to golf. You can do a lot of other things that will help your golf. And then I would say, you know, practice, keep your practice really fun. And if it's ever kind of feeling like it's not fun, then, you know, take the day off and don't worry too much about it. You're nine and you have a lot of time ahead of you. And in college, it's a lot of fun, and you'll experience that. So you just want to keep yourself nice and balanced and be ready to play when you're 18, 17, 18 and going to college.
All right. Thank you.
How do you determine which players make the roster for your traveling team, and how often do you guys travel each month?
Okay, well, we travel probably 4 times in the fall and about 7 or 8 times in the spring. And how we determine it is basically by your score. So that's the beauty of golf, I think, is you're in charge, and you're going to go shoot a certain score, and then that will be looked at amongst the rest of the team, and the low score goes. Sometimes we'll say, well, actually, for every tournament, there will be, so our first tournament is New Mexico next year. I'll say, okay, anyone who finishes in the top 20 individually at this tournament will be exempt to go on the next tournament. So that person, if we have 2 players finish in the top 20, those 2 players get to have some flexibility in the qualifying rounds going into the next tournament. So that would mean they might be able to work on something that they wanted to work on the golf course and not count their score for the qualifying for the next tournament. So they could maybe play a different game. They could maybe play match play against each other. It just gives them a little flexibility. Or if they have a class and they really need to study, they could play 9 holes and go home after 9 holes. So if you play really well in one tournament, then it gives you that flexibility for the next tournament. But otherwise, it's pretty much what your score is for us.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Coach, thank you very much for spending your time. Extremely valuable information. Everybody loves it. And by the way, I have a room full of parents. There's a lot of head nodding going on around here. So.
Oh, parents are there. Wow, good.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thank you for allowing me, Eric. You know, I think the world of you, and I'm sure you're running a great program out there, and those guys are really lucky to have you. So go Bears.
Thanks,
guys. That was fun.